Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a marvelous segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Runway, Mr. Mike Abb. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Coming to you live from sunny Bentonville, Arkansas today.
Bentonville, Arkansas. Mike, why Bentonville?
Well, first off, I didn't have a choice. I was born here, but I kind of migrated back after I was gone for a decade down in Austin. But primarily, this is the home of Walmart's headquarters. So a lot of things revolve around Bentonville, and I'm a portion of that puzzle.
So you were there. So you weren't there because of Walmart. You just happened to be randomly in the universe born there.
Correct.
So what's it like to grow up where Walmart is the big dog?
Well, you know, it's early on, it wasn't necessarily as understood as a youth growing up, the power and the impact that the company would have on the region and subsequently the world. But as things started to ramp up in the 90s and then on into the 2000s, we definitely started to have a lot more of a global presence in the town, as exemplified right this weekend with our shareholders conference that's happening this weekend. I was just on the town square, and there was, I don't know how many flags from how many countries where Walmart's located at around the town square there, which is somewhat an eye-opening experience as you realize you're just not so rural and hidden in a flyover state as you thought. In fact, at some portions in time, you're the center of the universe.
Now, is that, I bet you people don't realize how important Walmart is, first of all, as a retailer. They're, you know, obviously super large in that respect, but so many of their vendors actually have people there, boots on the ground in Bentonville to serve them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Essentially, the rough math is if you're selling $1 million worth of product into Walmart, you're going to have some type of presence in town, whether they're all the time living here or traveling multiple times a month to the location. You definitely have an account manager, a sales team, and some portion of the replenishment and marketing group located here. So you can run down the list from the P&Gs to the Kimberly-Clark to the PepsiCo's and on down the line. You're going to find them here, which is somewhat a shocker to folks that come in here that aren't a part of the Walmart ecosystem to see all these familiar brand names have corporate outposts there.
Now, because of their kind of Fortune 500 presence of so many people that are there in Bentonville, which, I mean, if there was no Walmart, it would be, probably, like you said, a flyover small town, you know, just typical American small town. But because there are so many Fortune 500 people there, does that help in terms of kind of civic engagement?
Well, it's starting to get better and better with it as we've started to create more and more outlets through nonprofits being created, primarily funded by the Walton Family Foundation. That initiatives are really quality of life for the region. Mm-hmm. That now there's become a lot more outlets for corporate giving now that these organizations have even been created. So I was actually meeting with some folks yesterday to discuss some of the roles that a few of the major companies around here are playing in the nonprofit landscape here and how the engagement has really ramped up in the past 5 years with different outlets for people to really associate their giving or their passion. Not that there isn't always a need for, a heart association or a diabetes fund or something, but now we've got stuff like trail building and STEM education and things that are really starting to align with a lot of different people's passion. So we're starting to see an uptick in engagement and across the board.
And one of your day jobs, I guess, is your creative director with Runway. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Sure, absolutely. We're kind of a bridge between the Walton Family Foundation and Walton Enterprises to work on essentially the missing gaps or like the direction of a number of where the grants are going and how the money's being spent, as well as the impact it has regionally, in the state, and then ultimately nationally. We've got a lot of different things on our plate and a lot of different goals and focuses, so it's not really easy to chat about, but kind of to simplify it, we're really here to basically make the place as attractive as possible and to spur additional investment from the private sector in Northwest Arkansas. And a large portion of that goes into recruiting, not just for Walmart, but for Tyson and J.B. Hunt, but as well as recruiting new companies, startups, and different types of ways to diversify the portfolio here, and trying to get additional investment in companies and look at Northwest Arkansas as a key cog in their wheel and potential position in the United States to do business from.
So now what's a day in the life of Mike Abb look like nowadays?
Well, a day in my life, it was kind of funny. Just yesterday, just to give you a little snapshot, I was down in the neighboring town of Springdale. So we say Northwest Arkansas and then we say Bentonville, but really it's a collective of five major cities: Bella Vista, Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, and Fayetteville. And been working on initiatives in all the major municipalities here to kind of reinvent public space. So we were taking a basketball court that were in downtown Springdale, which are primarily used by the Marshallese population for the Marshall Islands, which is kind of an interesting subset of people that ended up here that use the basketball courts all the time, and they're having their Independence Day celebration this weekend. And so we painted the courts in traditional colors, including an aerial of their, like a Google aerial view of their islands, because many of the folks there have never been to the islands. They were born in the States. So kind of an educational tool mixed with corporate, or not corporate, but like community deal with corporate dollars backing it, with the ability to kind of like have artwork and a true investment in their culture in a really large and vibrant way. So that's what the day started out with. So we finished up some designs, and I'm happy to see some of those images for your later syndication. And then we turned around and I met with another magazine group, and we talked about how we're going to make this new hard book cover for a new publication that they've got out, and where the different locations where that needs to be, and how that content is going to stream out, and who are the players that are going to be coming to the table with the funds to pay for the publication, as well as what nonprofits we're going to highlight, and what's the story, the mission, the vision, and the overall implications, and how to make that as authentic and as inspiring as it can be. And then we turned around and I launched a radio station, not unlike you guys are here, which is fun, a local community radio station. So I had my planning meeting about the fundraiser on the 17th, which is dueled up to be with the downtown art market that same day. So trying to get all the players in the game, understanding what the next steps are to make the 17th an amazing day and been able to celebrate art and culture, and ultimately end up hopefully raising some funds for Bentonville Radio.
So now
that's kind of what yesterday looked like. You can ask me a little bit later about today, and I'm sure there'll be a few more stories.
So it's always a matter of kind of you're getting involved in the community directly, and then you're trying to kind of partner with different organizations just to better that Northwest Arkansas. Is that a typical day for you?
Yeah, essentially. And really trying to figure out how to ensure that everyone is kind of moving forward towards some shared goals, which isn't always the case when you've got as many organizations coming up as quick as they have in the wake of the foundation spending.
Right.
Really ramped up in the past decade, and it's like, okay, now we've got 1,000 nonprofits in the area, and what are they working on? Like, I know some of the portion that we're speaking here today has to do with a recent course that I just did called the Alt MBA from Seth Godin, and one of the prompts or curriculum that we had to do was one called Assets, Boundaries, and Narratives, or the ABN, and I found that to be a really interesting tool that I'm going to start putting in my tool bag to help nonprofits and people not just internally working for the thing, but those that specifically sit on the board and those that are volunteering to be in positions of like influence within these, to actually fill out an ABM so we can get to a shared synergy and goals and vision quicker instead of kind of having a question mark at key times that should have been addressed way up front.
Now, I also went through the Alt-MBA and were, I guess, you were part of 11. Were you part of the 11th one or the 10th one? Because they were simultaneous.
I guess it was 11. I'm not quite sure.
So I guess we're in the same cohort. And what was the impetus for you to do that program?
Well, I think everyone can agree that Seth's blogs and books over the past decade have been nothing short of inspiring and legit with that kind of honest tone that people look for and hopefully leaders. And since I'm fortunate enough to be at an intersection of being a leader in the community, I wanted to get a dose right from someone that I respected in a new and exciting kind of format that I could not have to travel somewhere to go do. And not all that kind of stuff is offered here. We're not in a major urban core. So being able to have a secondary kind of education that was aligned appealed to me. So that's kind of why I signed up.
So now, how did you manage the time? Because it was 28 days. It was pretty intensive. There were about 3 projects due each week. And you seem pretty busy in your work there. How'd you get it all done?
About sleeping. Probably didn't do enough of it last month. And I'm looking forward to, you know, catching up on that at some point in time. But really it was a sacrifice in a lot of different ways because I had to really step away from a lot of different obligations and social things that I'm involved in order to kind of be in front of the computer and work on my writing and have that time to do our reflections on it and what I thought most importantly, commenting on other people's work. And so I really just stripped away a lot of things that were going to be part of my usual diet here, which is a lot of my exercise routine got compromised, a lot of my social networking and participation in events had to hit the back burner.
Yep. Now, how are you going to be able to implement some of these teachings moving forward? How do you see that kind of, how are you integrating it in your kind of day-to-day life?
Well, I mentioned a little bit about the ABM and the last prompt that we did, I recorded a video about kind of an idea that we've had about upgrading the Adopt a Mile program to the national program to be more than just cleaning up trash. And to talk about kind of skills-based volunteerism. And with skills-based volunteerism, I think it's important to distinguish that. I think skills-based volunteerism falls into 2 different types of categories. There's one where you can bring your skill, whether you're an architect and we need something designed and you're able to use your skill on a volunteer basis and aid in it, or something where you're actually learning the skill through your volunteerism with the project or the organization. So kind of talking about that and was able to use that video and send it around and kind of build some additional momentum towards kind of the ideas and why I'm really trying to push this as an ability for people to invest and engage with kind of disguising the future in the past by taking it along with standing program and kind of sprucing up the language and the opportunity that surrounds it. So those are a couple examples of how I'm looking to implement it. And I know one of the last things that they want us to do is kind of have a party or an event where you invite a bunch of people and kind of tell them about the Alt-MBA. For me, that's not necessarily for an outside group. That's more for my internal group and to kind of break down how I spent my last month, where the money went, what are the learnings, and how we can implement them is something that my bosses want to see done. And so it's kind of a natural thing for me. I was already going to be doing. So hopefully we can all take some of that to heart and as best as I can regurgitate it to them. And if everyone's got the time to read all the blogs that we wrote, I think there's a lot of jewels to be pulled out of there for years to come.
Now, you mentioned that you spent some time in Austin. What brought you to Austin?
Well, I had really moved really heavily into video production. So I graduated from film school out of a school called TCU in Fort Worth. And I was living in Dallas working for a couple different productions. And this was 2006, and Austin was really catching fire. And I was like, well, you know, the writing's on the wall, and I got to get myself down to Austin. And lived down there for 7 years and enjoyed a nice run in the entertainment and kind of culture building scene there, working on a lot of different live music stuff, a lot of different promotion of essentially South by Southwest and Austin City Limits and the things that now are pretty much, you know, cornerstones of their creative economy down there. And through that, kind of revitalized a lot of my networking back to Bentonville. And I kind of fit the bill with somebody that looked like could come back and bring what they'd learned in a place like Austin into Northwest Arkansas. And that's what kind of drew me back.
Now, were you involved? I read somewhere that in Bentonville, they did a film festival, but there's no movie theater. Were you involved in that initiative?
Yeah, we just had it at the start of the month, which was the start of the All-NBA. So I was doing phone calls from from like theaters and production stuff that we were doing throughout the week there, which was difficult, I'm sure, for others to kind of have to listen in as I was going off mute and on mute as bands were playing and speakers were doing their thing and I was lugging production equipment to and from. But we're actually just about to open our movie theater. So we responded to the need and we've got a six screen theater opening up in our newly minted arts district on A Street. So we're excited to have that open this summer.
So what do you need more of?
What do we need more of in Bentonville or me, Mike?
Yeah. For Runway, what do you guys need more of?
You know what we need more of? I think we need more people to seize the reins. We're in a really unique position to globally influence the world for better or worse. And we're growing great leaders here, but we need to grow best-in-class leaders. And we're at the position where we can influence a myriad of industries. If we so choose to move in one direction or another. So when you have the type of global buying power, distribution, as well as impact directly to as many customers as we have, it's incalculable how strong a presence you can have, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent. So moving that needle towards, you know, better for the planet, better for the person, and still benefiting the company and the people that are there is a tricky line to walk down. But it's one that I think we're right there. Everyone's wanting that. We're seeing it. You know, Seth's writings almost daily talk about the responsibility you can have within your own self that can influence your organization. And that organization can influence whatever supplier, whatever manufacturer, and whatever customer that they're tuned in towards. So being able to kind of seize the reins and realize the power that you have here is really what we need.
Good stuff. Now, if somebody wanted to get involved, Mike, and contribute, what's the best way to get a hold of you or Runway?
Well, you can easily shoot me an email at mikeabb@runwaynwa.com. But I'm pretty all over Facebook or any of the Instagram that you want to look at. We've got a myriad of different handles and things that we're in cahoots with. But if you're ever thinking about swinging through this way, just give me a shout. And I'd love to meet up with you and discuss about the potential and the opportunity and all the amazing things to do and see here.
Well, Mike Abb with Runway, keep up the good work, man. And thank you so much for hanging with us for a little while and getting us up to date with your efforts. This is it's exciting. I've been on the periphery of this Alt-MBA thing that you've been through by listening to some of Lee's war stories. So we want to stay connected, man, and wanted to continue to know how your work is unfolding.
Well, I'd love that. And I thank you for taking the time and the effort to hear my story, and I look forward to hearing others. So y'all have a great afternoon, and till the next time.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, Mike Abb with Runway, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.